A reading from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Then our gospel reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you will say, but say whatever is given you at that time, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The Gospel of our Lord. God's grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. When I hear this scripture verse from our Hebrews reading today, I think to myself, why haven't I seen this verse on a wooden plaque displayed on a living room wall? Yes, there are many wonderful words of scripture that I've seen displayed, but not this word from God, a word from God that I would be blessed to hear again and again, day after day. Hold fast. In this world where there continues to be conflict and war, earthquakes, famines, wildfires, violence, persecution, and hatred among people, this word continues to speak powerfully to us today. This word speaks of trusting in the one who is in control, the one who saves without wavering, trusting in God's presence, power, and promises. Once again, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. I believe Jesus speaks of this holding fast in our gospel reading today as well. Jesus' disciples are quite impressed with the work that Herod had gotten done with the building of the new temple, with some of the stones that made up the construction being 40 feet long and 12 feet high and 18 feet wide, and the exterior of the building being covered on all sides with massive plates of gold. The temple had been under construction for almost 50 years, and it is very impressive as it finally nears its completion. Jesus' disciples react with awe and wonder, only to be met with Jesus' declaration that these large, impressive stones will be thrown down. Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down, Jesus declares. This awesome structure that had been constructed to be the biggest and the best, the very dwelling place of God, is going to be destroyed. I can imagine the disciples being in disbelief upon hearing this. We hear in verse 3 of our gospel reading that the bold disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, question Jesus on this matter as the disciples sit across from the temple in the Mount of Olives. They ask him, when will this be? What will be the sign? Yes, the disciples wanted signs. They wanted a way that they could be certain of Jesus' word. Jesus then responds in our gospel reading with this word, beware, a word of warning. Beware that no one leads you astray. He goes on, many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Birth pangs. This is a powerful metaphor for the difficult times we face in our earthly existence. What we hear from Jesus in our gospel text is that there will be times of suffering in this life. Like birth pangs, difficult times in our lives intermix with times of relief. Also, the intensity of the suffering usually increases as the moment of delivery draws near. Yes, the warnings and pain come alongside the promise. There is to be anticipation and excitement concerning the new life, even amid the birth pangs. Yes, there is good news to be proclaimed. As verse 10 of our gospel reading declares, and the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. Jesus is asking his disciples to hold fast, to be aware of these alarming events. Don't be alarmed. God's word reminds us once again of the fact that we are under the law in this world. What does this mean? It means that this world will continue to be troubled. Its large stones will continue to crumble. But the good news of Jesus goes beyond this world of death. It is a word that brings new life. Yes, Jesus compares it to birth pangs, where fear, uncertainty, and pain leads to the joy of new birth. It leads to good news. It leads to the gospel. While Jesus' disciples hear about their future as his followers, and it certainly doesn't sound very good, handed over, beaten, questioned, yet he also lets them know that their mission in the midst of this is the mission of testifying, of declaring the good news. This is to be their first priority, to let people know, to hold fast. God knows the condition of the world, the condition for you and me, and he has a plan. This reminds me of my granddaughter, Adley, who is presently with my daughter, Allison, and my wife, Lori, in Myrtle Beach, carrying on a tradition in our family of a mother trip at age 10 and a father trip at the age 16. Lori, my wife, is just along for the ride this time. Anyway, the day they were leaving to fly out, Adley was having panic attacks, thinking about the trip, complaining about not being able to breathe and noticeably shook up about the travel, even staying home from school that day. When I was made aware of this, I took her aside and I prayed with her, then took her to my home office and found a small, smooth stone with a Bible verse on it. Be still and know that I am God. She immediately was given comfort. And according to Grandma and Mom, she held on to this stone during the entire travel experience. What I was simply reminding her of was this. Hold fast. You are in good hands. In our reading, Jesus declares words of comfort and assurance. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you will say, but say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus' words of encouragement concerning the comforting presence and power of the Holy Spirit, he goes on to declare, brothers will betray brothers to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Well, this certainly doesn't sound like good news, does it? This can certainly bring on a panic attack. However, Jesus' word of warning here is wrapped. It's wrapped in his word of promise. And this promise that we receive, once again, has nothing to do with our performance, whether we work hard enough or are respected enough or are pious enough or if we give enough. No, within the context of this powerful warning, the promise is heard. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And how is it that one endures? Well, by holding fast. Holding fast to the promises of Christ, our Savior, in faith. For God's promises are rooted in Jesus Christ, his Son, the solid rock, who has given you the security and certainty that you need. This is the solid rock in which the community of believers stands by faith. Jesus makes it very clear that there is a sharp contrast between the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of this world. For one will remain forever, while the other is sure to crumble. Yes, Jesus declares, don't be alarmed. Or again, as our Hebrews reading proclaims, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. So when God's word speaks of faithful people being scorned, beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, and executed, it is true that the gospel offers no promise that contemporary believers will be spared these experiences as well, that they will be able to settle down to the comfort of a life free from stress and pain and disappointment. It simply promises that God will be there with us, even in the dark places of life, and that he has the power and the will to keep his promises made in Christ, calling us to hold fast, brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, there will be conflicts and war. There will be earthquakes and famines. There will be wildfires and violence. There will be those things that cause destruction and devastation in this life. And yes, you will even be persecuted and hated by people, maybe even by your own family. Yet, we endure by trusting in the one who is in control, the one who saves. As the day approaches, the day when faith in God's promises in Christ becomes sight, we are called to face the future with confidence. Confidence that whenever that day is and whatever it looks like, we will be in the presence of God as his beloved children. As the church year comes to a close and Thanksgiving draws near with Advent and the celebration of Christmas right around the corner, God's word again reminds us, declares to us the promises of the one who is in control, the one who is the giver of all good gifts, God himself, who declares to you, hold fast, I got you now and forever. Yes, hold fast in faith to the one who forgives our sins and blesses us so abundantly with his eternal promises. Thanks be to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Our sermon hymn today is number 206, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows rose tree. Precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead.